Mesechtes Baba Kama, Daf Tes, 9 lines from the bottom of Daf Chesam Beis, Amar Abaya, Abaya states, Reuven Shemacha Sadal Shimon Bachrayas, if Reuven sold a field to Shimon and he guaranteed the sale, meaning that if someone comes and takes the field away from Shimon, that Reuven would guarantee it and either pay him back or give him another field, and Va'asa Balchay de Reuven Vitarif Meshimon, and a creditor of Reuven who had a pre-existing lien prior to Shimon buying this field, and this field was Meshubid to this Balchay, and this property was mortgaged to the Balchay. So Dina who does a Reuven Mishtoy Dina Badei, then even though this Bal Chayiv comes to be Tavei Shimon to take away the field from Shimon, and at this point Reuven doesn't own the field, however Reuven still has right to go to the Din Torah and get involved in the Din Torah, and as Rashi says, become Mishtoy Dina Badei to Bal Chayiv, Lusalkim or Isakaka Bidvarim, Im Yeshla Reuven Shum Tfiyah, if Reuven has any Taina al Bal Chayiv Loime Pratich, and for example, if he says that I paid you off already, the Kaimalam Sechta Shvuas, the Afakab Nakashtara, that even though the lender may have a Shtar, and of course the svar would be shtarcha biyadoi my boy, and certainly if Reuven doesn't have edim, then Reuven would not be believed to say that I paid you off. However, as we learned in Masechta Shavuos, yomalei ishtavali deloy pratich bayi shtabui, that certainly based on this taina, Reuven would have the ability to require the malva to make a shvua. And as the Gemara states, v'lei matzi yomalei, and the malva can't tell Reuven la bal dvarim didiat, that you have no connection to this argument anymore because you don't own this field any longer. As the yomalei, as Reuven will say to the balchayv, since I guarantee this field to Shimon, so if you'll take the field from Shimon, alai hada, that certainly he'll come back to me, and I will have to keep to my guarantee and pay him back, and therefore I do have a right to get involved in this Din Torah. Gemara continues, v'ikadamri, and another version is, afilu shloi b'achrayas nami, that this din would apply even if Reuven sold the field to Shimon, and he did not guarantee the field, to amalei, because Reuven will say to the b'achayv, loy nichali, to have a Shimon, to rumus alai. Now, although it's true that when I sold the field to Shimon, I did not sell it with any guarantee, and I sold it as is. However, certainly I don't want Shimon to have any tainus on me and to potentially claim that I sold him the field and at that point he thought that there was no Bal Chayiv and no one was owed money, and meanwhile someone is owed money, and if I want to be able to come to Bezin and say Paratich that really was paid off, and this way I show Shimon that I was really being honest with him. And I in Taisa Diva Maskal Dina Hu Da Azar Ruvim will come Shtoye Dina Badei, where Taisa says Vim Taima my Nafkamina, what would be the Nafkamina? Kol Mash Yachal Ruvim Litton Tanin Leila Shimon, that we know that anything that Ruvim could Taina, then Bezdin would taina for Shimon, even without Shimon not knowing the facts, the Tanina Lelekech, because we have a cloud that although we're not going to be Taninan for Bal Dava, but we would be Taninan for Lekech, V'chein L'Yasemim, Bein Purua, Bein Mezuyev, V'tzrichi Eidekiyim, and therefore in any case, the Malva will have to bring Eidekiyim, the Lavachi, L'Shafkis Chayim, L'Chal Beria, as if we wouldn't say this, B'negei Lekech, and B'negei Yasemim, then no one will be able to have any tainas, and it will put a Lekech and the Yasemim at a disadvantage. And I, in the last 5 lines of Taisis, where Taisa brings 2 different terutzim. The Gemara continues, V'am Abaya, and Abaya stated another halacha, Reuven Shemacha Sadal L'Shimon Shaloi Bachrayis, if Reuven sold a field to Shimon, and he did not guarantee the sale, and we continue Adav Tesam and Alf, V'yotzu Alei Asikin, and as Rashi says, Oirin Loima Shalonui, and then immediately after Reuven sold this field to Shimon, there are people that come and say that this field really belongs to us, and Abaya teaches us, Ad Shalei Hichzik Bo Yoch Lachzik Bo, that prior to Shimon being machzik in the kaka and make a kin in the kaka, he could be chayza mishichzik ba in yachlachzabai. But once he makes a chazaka in this kaka, he can't be chayza any longer. And Rashi in Masechtas Bamitzia, as well as Rashi in Masechtas Ksubas, tells us b'shaloi nasan mais, we're talking about a case where Shimon did not yet pay for this kaka, but once he makes a chazaka in the kaka, then he has responsibility to pay Reuven, even though at this point they are seeking and he wants to back out of the sale. And l'chayr, keep in mind at the point of actually hichzik ba, and there was no chazaka, and therefore no kinyan in the kaka, so l'chayr was the chiddush that yachal lachzabai. So some explain that l'maisa there potentially could be a problem over here of being mechusa amana, as l'maisa he promised to buy something from someone, and even though he was not yet cleaner, l'chayr there should be a problem, they should not be able to back out. But the Gemara tells us that once there's asikin, then he has a right to back out, and there wouldn't be a problem of mechusa amana as long as he did not make a kinyan yet. However, once Shimon makes a kinyan, then he can no longer be chayza, and he would have to pay Reuven for this field. And the Gemara explains, is my taima. The amalei chayse the kitri savs v'kiblas. As Reuven says to Shimon, that since I sold this field to you without any guarantees, so it's as if I sold you a bag that had a lot of knots on it, and you couldn't tell exactly what was in the bag. You understood that whatever is in the bag, that is what you bought. And over here also, since I sold to you without any guarantees, and certainly you got a cheaper price based on me not guaranteeing the field to you, and therefore that was what you already agreed to, and you understood that potentially there could be a sikin, and you will have to deal with any potential claims. And Rashi states, sak shura moli ruach, that it's as if I sold you a sack that was tied, that was full with ear. However, Ayin Rabbeinu Chananel, that he says, chayse the kitri, noyid kosher, you had a flask, what was tied up, moli, and was full, v'lo yadua, and Shimon did not know, imayim, o yayin, o yishemen, yeshboi, if this flask was filled with water, wine, or oil, and v'kaniso yisivimashi yeshboi, and you purchased it with whatever was going to be inside, v'nimsa mayim, and even though you only found that it was water in it, kachzeh, and over here is similar, that Shimon bought his field as is. In Rashi, Masechet Bava Metzia states, in yochel achzabai, v'afilu lo yinosa mois, even if he didn't give him money yet, sha'kaka nikz b'chazoka, v'amois alzeh milvo, and then Shimon will owe the money to Reuven. And our Gemara continues, me'im ishav chazoka, and from what point is it considered chazoka, mechidai shamitzi, when Shimon walks around his field, and he makes sure to create boundaries, and they used to go and pile up dirt around the boundaries of the field, in order to make markations as to where the boundaries of their field was, and what were the mitzvah of the field. And of course, that shows bailis, and therefore it's a valid chazaka, and at that point, Shimon was koina, and therefore at that point, Shimon can no longer back out, and he would have to pay Reuven for this purchase. And the Gemara continued, v'dafka shloi bachrayis, and this din of Abaye was only stated where Reuven did not guarantee this purchase, al bachrayis loi, but if Reuven guaranteed this purchase, then this would not be the din. And even if Shimon made a chazaka, and he was koina to the kaka, he could go back to Reuven and say, I want to give back the kaka, and I won't pay you for it, because l'maisa, there are oirin, and that people are claiming that this is their field, and I don't want to have to deal with this, and since you guaranteed me this field, so I wanted you to take back the field. However, the Gemara says, v'ikad amri, and others say, afilu b'achrayis nami, that this din would be stated even when Reuven guaranteed the purchase of this field to Shimon, and the amalei, as Reuven will say to Shimon, ach v'tivcha v'shalmucha, that although it's true that our tzikin and our urin are saying that this field is theirs, however, you still did not go to Bezdin, and you still did not go through a din Torah in order to see if the urin are actually correct, and if they have any claim against this field, and up until this point, it's your responsibility to deal with the Sada, and the only time I guarantee the Sada to you is only if you went to Bezdin and you lost the Sada fair and square based on Din Torah and based on the Psak Bezdin, then you could come back to me and I have responsibility to give you another field or to pay you back your money. And as Rashi says, Ach v'tivcha, shekasvulcha Bezdin, shtar tivcha, shebedin not lumimcha, v'ashalmulcha. Once you have a shtar from Bezdin, that you went to Bezdin and Bezdin paskin that you lost the field, then I have responsibility to pay you back. And we learned this Gemara according to Rashi that the Lashon of Hichzik is referring to a Kinyan. Where it brings from Rashi that that even though Shimon did not yet pay money to Reuven, however there was a Kinyan and Kaka Nikhtis B'Chazaka. And Taisa is bothered that if we're talking about a regular case of a Kinyan, so why did our Gemara Dafka speak about a case of Chazaka and not speak about other Kinyanim of Kaka, for example like Kesef and Shtar? And Taisa asks another question, why did Gemara now ask how did he make a Chazaka and when is it considered that he has a Chazaka? If Masisini prepared Chazabatim, if this is a Mishnah that's Mefurish in Mitzechs Bab Basra, then no parts of Vigada, that the way to make a Chazaka is being my no parts of Vigada. And also, why is the Gemara asking in our Sugya as to what Chazaka is? If we mention Chazaka many times in Shas, and the Gemara doesn't ask this question, and the Lashon of Daish HaMitzri is Mashma, he just walked around the field. It's not Mashma, he actually did something, and he actually performed some sort of a Maisa Kinyan. Based on these questions, therefore, Taisa learns Asukya differently, and he learns, V'nir al-Farish, D'mayri shekona b'kinyan gom, b'chalipin, oy b'shtar, oy b'chazoka, oy rafik b'poto, that the case was where Shimon actually made a valid Kinyan, and he either the chalipin shtar, or he did a valid chazoka, and he already was no parts of the gada, or Shimon was rafik b'poto. And the chiddush of Abai is, V'dayte shel Adam, afal pi shekona b'kinyan gom, am yatsu oyrin, yachal achzabai, that a person das is, that even though they're going to make a full-fledged Kinyan, if immediately after they bought the Sada, there will be Irin that it could still be Chayza, calls Mashle Holoch, Amitzia Sada, La Arkle Rachba, Liris and Yonah Sada, prior to them being able to go and inspect the Sada and verify exactly what they bought, behind the Daisha Mitzri, and that's why the Gemara asks, what exactly is the Chazaka referring to? And Lafi Taisis, is, the Gemara responds that we're talking about a simple chazakah where a person will walk around a field, and of course that would not be a valid chazakah in order to be koyin or something, as you didn't actually do a mice at the field, but this is enough that you inspected the field, and now it would be considered that you own the field and you can't back out. And the Rambam maybe explains this further, and prior to being mishtamishin and after you already made a kinyan, there's now an era, harezer yachalachsabai, she'in l'cha mum gadol mizeh, that there's no greater mum this, sha'dayin lo'y nenabai, that a person was not nena from their purchase, ubo ha'tovim, and tovim already coming out of the woodwork, l'fichach yivat l'amekach v'yachsa ha'meichas adomim. The Rambam even states that even if Shimon already paid money to Reuven, Reuven would still have to return the money, and this would be considered a mekach tais. However, in regard to this last point, Tais is actually argues and he says, b'loy nasu ma'yusari, we're only talking about a case where Shimon did not yet pay for this field, the ibn nasu ma'yusari, as if Shimon already paid money, and afilu b'chayis nami, amai yachal achsabay meshichzabah, v'chil oilum yachal achsabay, do you think that Shimon will be able to be chayza at any point in time? And certainly once Shimon paid for this kaka, he could no longer be chayza. Tais is bothered that bein lefi Rashi and bein lefi his pshat, that Shimon didn't pay yet for this kaka, so v'im taima v'leim leishkal ara bezuzeich, so why can't Shimon just turn to Reuven and say that I don't want to pay you money, but here's your sada back and shove a kesef is a kesef? And Taisa says, "V'yishleimet kagayin shozlu." Either we're talking about a case where this kaka went down in value and depreciated, and therefore, certainly, if he gives back this kaka, that's not considered a full fledged payment. Inami kivin shiyotzla iron. At this point, since there are iron, ain't shove k'moishal hisa shove b'shashakana, which is a similar idea, and the value of the property went down based on the fact that there are iron, and therefore, certainly, someone won't pay as much for this field as Shimon originally paid for it. And before we continue, the Gemara said a lashon of Chaisi the Kitri, Sabbath of Kiblis, and we already spoke out Rashi and Rabbeinu Chananel, and the Shittim of Kubetzes brings down Klaima Sak Kosher Heter Bahabi Kisharim, that this sack was closed up very well and was tightly tied, Lahari Shadavah Choshev Yeshbai, and therefore it seems to be showing that there's a Dovah Choshev in this bag, the Imbay Mamish, Vakim Le Bodak Mashi Yeshbai, Hanech Ma'isav Al Kanatzvi, then it's as if he places money on the horn of a deer, Hachinami Zeshe Konish Lebach Rayas, Vigam Otta Kishamali Higash, Vavda Kibishaina, Hifsim Isa Bishtikasai. The Rif explains that Daisha Mitzri is a case, Kagain Shahisa Isa Sada Shekona, Smuchel Sada Shalai, if Shimon bought his field from Reuven and was next door to a Sada that also belonged to Shimon, Vahibene Mitzar, and in between there was already a border or some sort of a wall that was separating between the two fields, Vahasha Kishkana Isa Sada Smuchel Sadeo, and now that he buys the adjoining field, Abaya teaches us, Im Dosh Isa Mitzri Shabineim, Umacha Isa, Achinus Avishtea Sadas, Vinasu Shtea and Sada Achas, that if Shimon goes and now destroys the border that's between these two fields in order to create one field and it shouldn't be separated by this border, then and the Gemara now continues and it goes back to the question that Abaye asked to Rava on Daf Zayin Amud Alef, as Abaye asked that Lachir is Sira, since the Pasuk states Meitav Sadeo Meitav Kami Shalim, and we learn out that you only could give Meitav from Yisada and nothing else, and then we have a Brisa that tells us Yashiv L'Rabbi Shava Kesef K'Kesef V'Afilu Subin, and he even allowed to give something which is not Meitav, so Lachir is a Sira. The Gemara tried different terutzim, and finally the Gemara on Daf Zayin Rabbi stated that a Papa and Punim B'Rei Rabbi Shua came to the Yeshiva of Rav. They explained that really any type of metavtel is considered metav and even subin, because wherever you want to go and sell subin, you could do so, and even if there's no buyer in one town, you could go to the next town and it's movable, and therefore you'll be able to sell it. However, land is not movable, and as we know, that's based on location. Therefore, specifically B'negei Kaka, the Torah requires that if a mazik wants to pay a nizik using Kaka, then he has to pay with idias. And Rashi immediately explains that although we took a 2-block break and we took a detour, however, and since we were speaking about Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel before the Shaila of Abaye to Rava, therefore we continued discussing the Shita Rabbi Kiva, and now at this point we go back to the original question and we go back to Abaye's question to Rava, and the Gemara will now bring another teretz from Rav Huna. And Rav Huna Amar, Oy Kesef, Oy Meitiv, that the Torah is telling you that either you could pay Kesef or you could pay Meitav. And at this point, Rav Huna said these words, it was Mashma Rav Huna was saying, when a Mazik comes to pay a Nizik for damages, he either could give him actual Kesef and not Shava Kesef, or he has to give him Meitiv of a Sada. And of course, Kesef is considered similar to Meitav, since it's something that you could immediately use, and therefore, that's all considered Meitav. However, according to Rav Huna, it would seem that you can't give Subin. And as Taisa states, V'tzarech Loimah Shalai Hispik L'Sayim Devar, that Rav Huna did not complete what he meant to say and didn't complete the statement, and as we will see in a moment, immediately Rav Nachman jumped up and asked a question to Rav Huna, and the Gemara explains, Eis Rav Nachman Rav Huna. So now Rav Nachman asked the following question to Rav Huna, the Lemaisa Abaya's Brice they brought was, Yashav L'Rabbi Shava Kesef, Afilu Subin, how can you tell me that either you have to give Kesef or Meitav, and Smashba, you can't pay with Shava Kesef, if there's goof of what the Brice stated, and the Brice stated you could pay with Subin. And Rav Huna responds to Rav Nachman that he did not understand what I meant, as Hachar Mayaskinan, but lessly, that the teretz I meant to say is as follows, that if a person has Kesef or he has Kaka, then the Mazik could pay the Nizik either Kesef or the Kaka, and he can't pay Shava Kesef. However, if the Mazik doesn't have any Kesef and he doesn't have any Sadeis, then he could pay the Nizik with Subin and he could pay him Shava Kesef, and even if it's not Meitav, the Gemara is, either Lesle Pshita, the Lechira, if the Mazik doesn't have any Kesef or Kaka, then it's Pashut that he has to pay with Subin, because how else will the Nizik get paid? And the Gemara answers, Maru Tema, one may have thought, immediately, that we would tell the Mazik, Zil Tarch Zavin Vaisle Kesef, that you have a responsibility to go and sell your Subin and you will buy Kesef, and that's the only way you can make a proper Tashlum to the Nizik, Kamash Mulan, that there is no such requirement, and since all he has is Subin, he could pay Subin to the Nizik. And as we just explained, there definitely machlekes between Rav Huna and the Teretz that we had beforehand of Rav Papa and Rav Huna Beit Rabbi Shua, and Ayin Taisi brings from the Rif that we pass along Rav Papa and Rav Huna Beit Rabbi Shua, since they are Basrai, therefore, even if a person has Kesef, they could still pay with Subin, and they don't have to pay with Kesef Dafka. However, Rabbein Tam argues on the Rif, Ayin Shum, and Tais points out at the end of Taisis that Poyali, less little Balabayas Zuzi, that Benigea worker, if the Balabayas doesn't have money, Omalei, Ziltar, Vizovin, Vaisi, the employee could force the employer to go and be Matriach and bring money and pay him with cash. The Gemara continues, Amr of Asi states, Ksafim Harein Kakaka, that Ksafim have the same din as Kaka. And the Gemara right away asks, Lamai Hilchasa, what is Rav Asi referring to? And the Gemara explains, Ile Melinia Meitav, Hainu Rav Huna, if you're going to tell me that Rav Asi is teaching us a din, but the Gemara Meitav, the Mazik must pay the Nizik either with Kesef or with his Sada, and he only could pay Shava Kesef if he doesn't have either Kesef or Sadeis. But L'Chayr, that's exactly what Rav Huna stated. The Gemara just so stated, V'chein Am Rav Asi. Therefore, the Gemara says, El Shnei Achim Shechoku, we're talking about a case where two brothers were splitting up the Yerusha, Natal Echad Kaka, V'Echad Ksafim, and one took the Kaka that belonged to the father, and one took the money that belonged to the father, the father owed money to a malva, and the malva now came to collect his debt. And of course, we know that a Baal Chayiv cannot collect Bitaltan from the Yarshim, and therefore he could not go to Shimon and collect money. Instead, he went to Reuven, he foreclosed on the property, and he took the property away from Reuven. Rav Asi teaches us to Azal Hai, B'Shokal Pago, B'Ksafim B'Hadei, though Shimon originally took cash and he took money, however, Shimon still has the same responsibility as Reuven to the father's creditors, and therefore, when the creditor came and took the field from Reuven, Shimon would now have to go and pay Reuven for the loss that he had. And for example, if the kaka was worth $1,000 and Shimon also took $1,000, now that Reuven lost the $1,000 sada because the Baal Chayiv came and took it away from him, so now Reuven would get $500 and Shimon would be left with $500. And the Gemara asks, Pshita, hi bra, v'hai la bra, what is the chiddush of Rav Asi? Do you think that Reuven is a son and Shimon is not a son? Certainly, Shimon has a responsibility for the debts of his father because he's also a child of the father. Rashi says, certainly they're both considered children, therefore they're certainly both responsible for the debts. And what's the chiddush of Rav Asi? And ikadamri, and others say the adrabal idakisa, that the question is to the opposite extreme. Not only is the din not pashut, but the din should be the opposite way, the amalei, because Shimon will say to Reuven, even at the time that we split up the estate of our father, I understood that our father may have debts, and therefore I didn't want to take the risk, and that's why I actually specifically took Kesef and I did not take the Kaka and I left you the Kaka because I wanted to make sure that you would be responsible for all debts. I would not be, even though the value of the field and the value of the money I took seems to be equal, but I also had risk, because I knew that if the money is stolen from me and since it's not Kaka, therefore there's a potential that someone will steal my money, I wouldn't be able to go back to you and ask you back for my money. Similarly, when you took land, you knew that there was a risk. You understood that if someone comes and is going over the kaka from you and forecloses on this kaka based on a debt that they had from our father, that you would also not be able to come back to me and be compensated and be reimbursed for your loss. And therefore, the Gemara says, Memanushach, this can't be what Rav Asi is teaching us, as either it's pashit or the din is actually wrong. And l'chayr, it's a bit sarbiya, that how can you say something is pshita if we even have an ikad amri that thinks that the din should be exactly the opposite, bit sarbiya? And the Gemara continues with a third try as to what Rav Asi meant when he said, Ksafim Harein Kakaka, El Lishne Achim Shechalku, Obaba Chayv, Nato Chalkisha Achamen. men. Rav Asi is talking about a case where Reuven and Shimon split up the estate of their father, and they both took Kaka. Levi, who's a creditor of their father, now comes and takes away the land of Reuven. Certainly in this case, since both Reuven and Shimon received Kaka, so really both of them had a responsibility to Levi and to pay off the debt of their father. And since Levi went directly to Reuven and took his field, so Reuven definitely has a tie into Shimon to be compensated and to be reimbursed. However, Reuven demands that he wants to have 50% of Shimon's Kaka, and Shimon says, I don't want to give you Kaka, and instead I want to give you money. That if Shimon wants, he could give Kesef to Reuven, and he doesn't necessarily have to give him Kaka. And the Gemara asks, that how can you say this is the Pshat, and this is what Rav Asi is talking about? Rav Asi already told us in another time, as we learned, in the exact case that we just mentioned, there's a three with Machlekes. Rav holds that the original Chaluka that Reuven and Shimon did in the estate of their father will be Batal, and at this point, Shimon actually can't just give Kesef to Reuven, and they would actually have to split up that field once again. Shmuel Amavita, and Shmuel holds that even in the case where Reuven and Shimon both receive fields, but since the Baal Chayiv came to Reuven and collected Reuven's field, so Reuven will actually lose out, and Reuven will not be able to be compensated or reimbursed at all. And Rav Asi Amar, Noita Reviya B'Kaka V'Reviya B'Mais, and Rashi has two different versions as to how we learn our Gemara, and we will quickly first learn the first Pshat of Rashi. And Rav Asi tells us that in a case where both Reuven and Shimon received sadas which were worth $1,000, and now the Baal Chayiv took the $1,000 sada away from Reuven, so Reuven could only get $250 from Shimon, and Shimon has a choice to either pay the $250 to Reuven with cash, or he could give him kaka, but he's not forced to give him kaka, and that's what Rav Asi meant when he said k'safam harein k'kaka. We'll get back to this point, and we will explain Rav Asi deeper in a moment, and we'll also explain the second pshat of Rashi as well. However, let's continue and explain the Gemara and explain this through Machlekes. Rav Amar Bat Machlekes, Rav holds we would void the original partition, and we would now repartition the estate, and Reuven would receive kaka, and the reason is k'sava that he holds ha'achim shechalku k'yashim avo, when brothers split up an estate, they're considered like yashim, and as the Gemara teaches us, that the Rav holds it yesh brira, and therefore, at this point, we realize that the original chalukah wasn't a proper chalukah, and we have to redo the chalukah, u'shmul amavita, and Shmuel holds that we do not do the chalukah again, and Reuven will actually lose out, k'sava achim shechalku l'kuchis, and he holds that in brira, and therefore, brothers that split up an estate, they're considered like they bought one piece of land from the other, u'chakech shloi b'chrayis tami, and we consider Yerusha as if they bought something without any guarantees, and therefore, if the Baal Chayiv goes specifically to Reuven and takes away Reuven's land, then Reuven loses out. Reuven will not be reimbursed, and he will not be paid back for his loss. Finally, Rav Asi Amar, Rav Asi holds Noit Reviya B'Kaka V'Reviya B'Mois, and the reason is Misafkalei that Rav Asi had a suffix Ik Yashim Dami. Do we say Yesh Brera and therefore they're considered like Yashim Ik Lekuchas Dami or Im Brera and therefore like Lekuchas? Of course, in our example, if he holds a Kiyashim, therefore he would hold like Rav, and Reuven would be entitled to $500. And if he held like Shmuel, the Im Brera and the Lekuchas, therefore Reuven would not be entitled to anything. And since this Mamon Amut B'Safik, therefore would be Achleiku, and that's why Reuven would receive $250. And at this point, that Shimon owes Reuven $250. So Rav Asi teaches us that Shimon has the choice to either pay Reuven $250 in cash, or Shimon could decide to give Reuven the value of $250 of kaka. And since this is a mafurish din, Rav Asi stated when he was chilek on Rav and Shmuel, so l'chira this can't be pshat. And Rav Asi over here, where he said k'safim harein k'kaka, we will first finish the Gemara, and then we'll go back to Rashi's second pshat in the sugya. And the Gemara continues, elam mai harein k'kaka. When Rav Asi stated k'safim harein k'kaka l'inu meitav, it's actually teaching us that kesef has the same din of kaka, and they're both considered meitav. And when a person comes to pay nezek, they can either pay from kaka or they could pay kesef. They would not be able to pay shav kesef, and they couldn't pay subin unless they actually don't have kaka or mice. And basically, the Gemara is going back to the original pshat that we wanted to say in Rav Asi, and therefore the Gemara asked the original question, Ihachi hain Rav Huna, if so, that this is exactly the din of Rav Huna, and l'chayu, we should have said, v'chein Rav Asi. And the Gemara answers, Einachin Ami, Eima, v'chein Rav Asi, that the proper gesa should be, that v'chein Rav Asi, k'safim harin k'kaka, and he's saying the exact same din as Rav Huna taught us. And as we stated, we learned our Gemara according to the first pshat of Rashi, three lines on the bottom of the Amid, Taisi Se'es on Rashi, v'kasha, minol el Gemara, shemesafkel el Rasi, klal b'yoshin. Why would the Gemara have to say that the suffix of Rav Asi is brothers are considered Yorshim or they're considered Lekuchais? L'chayra dilma pshitalei delav k'yoshin inu, as maybe we could say that certainly Rav Asi held that not considered Yorshim, and really Shimon should not have to pay Reuven at all. However, Masafkalei, Rav Asi had a suffix Ihavak Lekuchas Bechrayis, a Lekuchas Shalei Bechrayis. The suffix was that although Reuven and Shimon are considered Lekuchais, but do we consider that Reuven and Shimon are considered they bought from each other and they guaranteed each one's purchase. On the side that they did so by Chayis, certainly Shimon would have to pay $500 back to Reuven. Could either do so by giving him Kesef or by giving him Kaka. They don't have to redo the Yerusha. And on the side that it's not considered they guaranteed it, then Shimon doesn't have to pay Reuven back at all. And that's why it makes sense that at this point it's Mama Muta B'Safek and therefore it's Chalkin. And that's why Shimon would have to pay $250 back to Reuven, but he could pay him either by giving him Kaka or by giving him Kesef. Number one, Taisa is bothered why the Gemara actually said Reb Asi holds that there's a suffix if it's Kiyarshim or Kalukuchis. And number two, Taisa is really bothered even further, according to Rashi, on the tzad that the Kiyarshim and therefore Shimon has to pay Reuven back, then it's based on a Din Yerusha, and Lechayra Shimon should not be able to pay Reuven back using Kesef, and he should have to give him Kaka. And why would Reb Asi say that he could either give him a Revia B'Kaka or a Revia B'Mais, as Lechayra on the tzad that he has to pay him anything, he has to pay him in Kaka. And based on this question, Zok Taisa is L'Kach Nira Kalashin Achrin. So what is the Lishna Achrin of Rashi? Zok Rashi, Lishna Achrin of Revia B'Mais, Mamish Levad Revia B'Kaka. And as Rashi explains further, that Reb Asi's suffix is, do we say that they're considered like Yoshim, therefore Shimon would have to pay Reuven back, and he'd pay him $500, since it was Bot Machlekes, therefore Shimon would have to give him 50% of his Kaka. And the second side of Reb Asi is, the Achin Shechoku are considered like Lekuchais Be'achrayis, and therefore they guarantee their fields to each other, and therefore when the Balchayim now takes a field away from Reuven, Reuven now goes back to Shimon, and he demands a payment based on his guarantee. And at this point, since it's not a Din Yerusha, therefore there's no Din of Bot Machlekes, but there is a Din that Shimon certainly has to pay Reuven $500, but at this point, Shimon would have the choice to either pay him $500 from Kaka or to pay him $500 in cash. Fizeh, there is no Shaila that certainly Shimon owes $500 to Reuven. The only suffix Reb Asi has is the requirement for Shimon to actually give Kaka to Reuven, or could he give him Kesef? Therefore, Reb Asi holds that he has to give him $250 in Kaka, although certainly Shimon has to give another $250 to Reuven, but he doesn't have to give him that in Kaka, and he can instead give him Kesef. Though he says, L'kach nira k'loshin achrein, Rashi actually says in the last three words of the Amid, V'loshin rishon shemati, and the Gemara continues, Amar Abzir, Amar Avhuna, Reb Zira states in the name of Avhuna, b'mitzvah ad shlish, when performing a mitzvah, there's a din of a third, and the Gemara asks, my shlish, what is this referring to? And we continue on Daf Tesla Beis, Ilay Mishlish Beisai, Rav Huna was trying to teach us that when someone has to do a mitzvah, they have to use a third of their assets in order to be able to perform that mitzvah. El me'ata yisramit le'tlasa mitzvasa le'sa l'kulei beisai. Do you think that if someone has to perform three mitzvahs, they would have to deplete all of their assets and they would not have any money left for themselves? And of course, that can't be pshat. Elam Abzir, and therefore Abzir says, and therefore Abzir himself explained the words of Rav Huna, and he explained behid mitzvah at shlish b'mitzvah. In order for someone to be mekayim a mitzvah with hid mitzvah based on zekei levan beyu, then the maximum that you should pay for hid mitzvah is up to a third of the actual cost of the mitzvah. And Rashi brings an example. For example, if someone finds two different sefer Torah to buy, one is hod mechaveri, then yosef shlish adam v'yikach sada. The tanya zekei levan beyu is not a fun of a mitzvah. Asay lecha sefer Torah na luv na talos na and tzitzis na. And the Gemara continues. By Rabashi is the following shayla shlish milgav or shlish milbar. When discussing a third, are we talking about a third from the original price, or are we talking about a third of the total price? And as Rashi brings down, that if someone could buy a smaller Sefer Torah, which would cost them 60 dinar, then if you say it's a shlish milgav, then you take the $6 and you split it into thirds, and therefore you add on $2, and now you'll have to buy a Sefer Torah for $8, and you'll be able to buy a larger Sefer Torah, which is more harder. The other side is that you take the $6, you split it into two, and you add 50% to your price, and now you'll be able to pay $9, and that is a third of the total price, which means when you have nine and you split into three, then when doing Hiddur Mitzvah, you have to add on an additional $3 and not $2. And the Gemara states, Teku, that we don't have an answer to this question. And the Gemara continues, B'marav Amri Mishmed Reb Zira, in the West, in Eretz Yisrael, they said over the name Reb Zira, Ashlish Mishalai Mekam Eilch Mishal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Reb Zira also added on to this din, when Reuven adds on a third to his mitzvah in order to be Mekayim Hiddur Mitzvah, that is considered Mishalai, and as Rashi says, She'in Nifalai B'chayev, he will not receive reward in this world. Karmina Hayyim Lasesim Valoya Yayim Lito Scharim. However, if a person goes and actually pays more than a third for Hiddur Mitzvah, then that is so great that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will even pay him back in this world, and he will be Eichel Peir Seyim Be'ilam Hazeh V'akaren Kayyamas Lo'ilu Ilam Haba. And Rabbeinu Chananel also learns like Rashi, that if someone's Mahadah more than a Shlish, that is a positive thing, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give him Schar Be'ilam Hazeh. And as Rabbeinu Chananel says, Kleima Muzuhu Lisnais B'mitzvahs Ad Shlish Mikan Be'ilach Im Meisif Yasa Al Shlish Midiya Seira Isa Kagoyin Mifanis Oni Meisif Lo Yasa Shinim Sechinai Be'in HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekapeh Eschari. El Mishal Malik Mulay Mishal Kadosh Baruch Hu Shinema Mal Vashem Chayin Dal. And he says Upashatu. And Rabbeinu Chananel then brings another pshat Dava Acha Mikam Veil Mishal Kadosh Baruch Hu Shimbol Hada Mitzvah Bias Mishlish B'Demeah. When the Gemara stated that you're not obligated to go and spend more than a shlish for Hida Mitzvah, that is only from his assets when he had to work hard for his assets and he doesn't have enough money. Shechayev Koydim LeHida Mitzvah. Certainly his life is Koydim for Hida Mitzvah. Avol Mziman LeHakadosh Baruch Hu Mamin Shleim Yigiyai. However, Hakadosh Baruch Hu gave him a lot of bounty and he didn't have to work for it. Ubikesh LeHada Mitzvah B'Yesa Mishlish. Harishas B'Yodei. Then he would be able to do so. V'Mahada Mitzvah Mishubach. And if someone's Mahada Mitzvah is definitely Mishubach, as we learned. B'Negiyah Ne'achanukah Mesechta Shabbos. V'Mahadri is Ne'alachol Echav Echad. There is also Mahadri Mina Mahadrin. Rav Yehuda adds in that is an obligation for someone to be Mahada Mitzvah up to a third, and it doesn't make a difference if he has a lot of assets or little assets. Avol Yosef Mishlish, if a person wants to be had more than a third, certainly he should do so based on what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him and based on his wealth and his assets. We learned the Lashon of the Gemara of At Shlish B'Mitzvah like Rashi did. However, Taisus says, Pirish, Shematza Esther Ke'egais K'moish Shir HaChamim Ve'echa Gadon Men HaShlish Yiknau, that the Shir HaChamim said that an Esther has to be is the size of an Egais. It's a Hidda to go and try to find an Esther that's at least a third larger than the standard Shir. Also at the top of the Amid, when the Gemara said, Ilei Mishlish Beisai, Taisus says that a person doesn't have to pay all his money in order to buy an esrig. Brings down from Masech Lechsubis that I'm a Vazvez, Al Yavazvez, Yaisi Mechemish. Finally, Taisus is bothered under Gemara's question, Al Me'ati Yisrael Melech plus a mitzvah, so Leisiv Lekula Beisa, and you have to deplete all his assets. Since we find a content of Masech Lechsubis of a Suraisid Rebbe in the case where the Simim have to pay for the dunya of the daughters of their father, Rebbe holds that if the father had 10 daughters, then the sons do not have to pay 10% to each of them for the dunya, which would deplete all of the assets, and they only have to pay 10% of whatever's left of the estate. And therefore over here also, even though in the first mitzvah of Reuven would pay a third, but then the next third he would pay of whatever's left. And for example, if originally Reuven had $9 and for the first mitzvah he paid $3, then he'll only have $6 left, and therefore the second mitzvah he would only have to pay $2. And if so, why couldn't we explain the Gemara this way? And how did Gemara say that if he'll have three mitzvahs he will deplete all his assets? And Taisa says, Mikol Mokum Yedua Shloya Yechayel Vazel Kolkach. However, Taisa says that's Yedua to the Gemara that the person is not obligated to give away so much money, and even though he won't be depleting all of his assets, but it's a big portion of his assets, and therefore the Gemara understood that that can't be pshat in Rav Zeira and Rav Huna. Actually, if you look at the Gemara Masechta Ksubas, the din of a Suraisid Rebbe is not necessarily in all scenarios, and L'chayra, if there's a case we have three mitzvahs that come at the exact same moment, L'chayra, in that case we would have a din that you have to pay a third to each mitzvah, and L'chayra, in that case you would deplete the assets, and L'chayra, you don't have to come on to the Teretz of Taisus. And finally, the Gemara had a shaila if the shlish for hid the mitzvah is milagav or milabar, and the Gemara came out with a teku, and Rabbeinu Chananel said, therefore we will be machmer, and we will make the cheshbon milabar, and you have to add on $3 based on our example. However, the Rush brings down the kibin de la ifshta nektin in the shlish milagav kama v'nirish atam mishum the sfeik rabbani ulakula. We begin the second mishnah of our perek, and as the Gemara stated before, that haitani yushalmis, as we use the lashon chav, so over here also the mishnah will be a little bit different than we used to, and the Matkiah says that's because that Haitani Yushalmis, that's why the Lashon of this Mishnah will be different than we're generally used to. And the Mishnah states, Kol Shechavti Pishmirasai, if a person is responsible to guard something, Hechshatis this guy, then if that item does damage, and since he didn't protect it and didn't guard it well, therefore he'll be chayiv to pay for damages. And Rashi brings two Lashonis as to the Lashon of Hechshatis this guy, number one, Klema im Hizik, if it damages Hechshativis Mantanei, so he has Ekshleishim Ratav Yafa, then you were the one who actually causes damage, and that's why you have to pay. Kach Mitzasi Lishnachrina, another version, Hechshati is Niskay, Alay Lahachshir, Ulusakin is Niskay, since I caused this damage, therefore I have a responsibility to fix the Nezek, Klema, and Nichayev Lishalim, and therefore you would be Chayev to pay. And the Mishnah continues, Hechshati Mixis Niskay, if someone caused a partial damage, Chavti B'Teshlumi Niskay, Kachshikal Niskay, he will still be Chayev to pay for the full damage, just like he created the entire Nezek. And the Gemara will discuss exactly what we're talking about, and the Gemara will explain, we're talking about a scenario where Reuven dug a pit which was 9 tefachim deep, and then Shimon went and completed the bar and made it 10 tefachim deep, and we will see exactly what we're talking about in the Gemara. The Mishnah continues that the only time that someone is chayiv to pay tashlumin for nezek is nechasim she'ein ben mila, is only those nechasim where there's no din mila, meaning they're not nechse hegdish, as b'digei hegdish we say that shasha re'eyu v'loy shasha hegdish. And the Mishnah is not going like the shita of Shimon ben Manasseh that we saw on Dav Zayin Manav, who holds that someone would be chayiv even if they damage hegdish. And in addition, the chasim she'ein shel b'nei bris, the only time that Reuven against chayiv for nezek is only if he damaged someone that's a Yisrael, but if he damaged a goy, he would not be chayiv. And in addition, in the chasim and chodim, the only time the Reuven is chayiv for damages is if he damages someone else's property, but if he damages assets that are hefka, then he'd be potter, and the Gemara will explain this further. The Mishnah now continues and discusses where the damage happened and where would be chayiv. If Reuven's shor damaged the shor of Shimon, then it doesn't make a difference where the shor actually damaged the shor, and any place he'll be chayiv, aside from if the nizik shor came into the shus of the mazik. As Rashi says, the amalei, because the mazik says to nizik, turcha b'shusim, my boy, what was your animal doing in my shus? And since he trespassed, therefore I will not be chayiv. And the Mishnah continues, b'shus ha-nizik v'ha-mazik, if there's a shus that belongs both to nizik and mazik, then you would not be chayiv either, and the Gemara will explain this further. And then the Mishnah states, k'shehizik chav ha-mazik l'sham tashlumi nizik b'meit avart. In all these cases, if the mazik or something that the mazik is chayiv in the shmira damages someone or something, then the mazik would be chayiv to pay nezek b'meit avart. As the Gemara stated before, that this line of the Mishnah seems to be extra. The Gemara explained that l'fi Shmuel, they learned that the abba of nezikin of shor and amava refers to regal and shein. So this line of the Mishnah is coming to teach us the din of keren. And two quick points before we begin the Gemara, that on Mishnah we learned nechosim she'im b'amila, and Rashi explains that although we learn shor e'eu v'loy shor shel hekdesh, and that pasuk is discussing the din of keren, however this din applies to all nezakin, as we learn all nezakin from the dinim of shor based on gzeir shava that we learned previously in the Masechta. And the Rambam in Pirush Mishayis actually teaches this part of the Mishnah that it could fit in with Rav Shimon ben Asya, as he says shemay shor hekdesh could go in chatas usher v'hizik in a chayiv klum, that if Reuven's animal is an animal of hekdesh, then he would not be chayiv to hekdesh. And certainly Rav Shimon ben Asya agrees to this point as well. And our Gemara begins with the brisa that expands on our Mishnah. Tanan banan kol shechatu pishmirasa yichshati is this guy, as we said in the first din of our Mishnah. And the brisa continues. Ketzah, what is an example? Shor ubar shemrasal l'chayr shaytav katan viziku chayiv l'shalim. That if Reuven has a shor or he has a bar and he gives that over to a chayr shaytav katan to guard, and then it damages, then Reuven will be chayiv to pay. And the brisa ends off. Masha in came beish. However, b'negei of fire, if you give it to a chayr shaytav katan and it damages, then you will not be chayiv. And the Gemara asks, but my eskina, what is the brisa referring to? If the brisa is referring to a case where Reuven gave over a shor that was tied up properly and a bar that was covered up properly, and he gave that over to a chayr shaytav katan, and even so Reuven is chayiv, and if so, the kavasa gabe ish gachalas. So it must be when the brisa stated masha in came beish, we're talking about a coal and not about an actual fire. And as Rashi states, gachalas sheina be'eris, that's not flaming elam kein liba isa, unless you blow on it. If so, maishnahachu l'chayr, what is the difference between a case of a shor kosher and bar mechusa and an ish that's a gachalas? L'chayr, in all cases either you should be chayiv, or in all cases you should be pata el b'shor muta or bar megula. It must be talking about a case where the shor was untied and the bar was revealed, and you gave that to a chayr shet v'kata in yichayiv to kavasa gabe ish al heves. So l'chayr b'negate a case of ish that the brisa brings down, it must be talking about a case where he actually gave an actual flame to a chayr shet v'kata. So how could it be that we would say masha in came be'ish to pata, do you actually be pata? For amri shlokish b'shmei d'chizkia, but shlokish taught us the name of chizkia loyshano shemas l'gachels v'liba, that the only time that we say that b'negate ish you would be pata is only if you gave a coal to a chayr shet v'kata, and then the chayr shet v'kata blew on it and causes damage. But if you actually gave a flame to a chayr shet v'kata, then Reuven, who gave this flame to the chayr shet v'kata, would be chayiv. And Rish Lakish explains my taima d'abari ezeka, and the reason is because certainly it is going to be mazik, and therefore certainly you will pesheya by giving it to the chayr shet v'kata. Rashi explains the lashon d'abari ezeka mevur ezeka l'kol she mizumenas lahazik. That's clear to everyone that this item will go and be mazik. And Rashi says bari is mizumen, that's prepared to go and be mazik right away. And the Gemara answers ilam b'shar kashu bar mechusa. Really, we're talking about a shar that was properly tied up and a bar that was properly covered. As we stated with the kavasa gabe ish gachelas, and when we spoke about an ish that yipata, it's talking about a coal and not about a flame. And this that you asked, the lachir, what is the difference between a shar kashu and bar mechusa where you chayiv and an ish gachelas that will be pata? The difference is shar dakel and tuke, bar dakel and ture. Even though a shar was tied up, since a shar is always trying to get out and trying to run away, therefore, as Rashi says, v'havali lasukei daitai shafilu in a cheresh matirai, that even if the cheresh would not have untied it, soifel hatas atzmai, the shor would have gotten out by itself and gone in damage. Hilkach shmiru uyi, therefore it's not considered a proper shmira. V'afilu tiru cheresh chayiv bal shor, and therefore even if the cheresh is the one that unties it, lemaisa the bal shor will be chayiv. Similarly, since the bar is in rishus rabim, so even if you cover it up, but lemaisa Isa by people walking on it constantly, it'll eventually give way. Therefore, at some point, this barrier will cause damage. And that's why, even if the Cheresh Hatam Katan is the one that takes off the covering of the bar, Baal HaBar will still be Chayiv. And as Rashi says, Hilchach Shmirai, Afilu Gilo Cheresh, Baal HaBar Chayiv, L'shalom, Shalei Shamru Kurai. But the Gemara continues and explains, Gachelis, Kamed Shavuk, Lai Ma'am Ya'am Va'azla, and the Gaya Kol, that even though Reuven gave a coal to a Cheresh Hatam Katan, but the standard of a Gachelis is that slowly it extinguishes. Only reason why this went and damaged is because the Cheresh blew on it, and Zak Rashi, my Gliba Cheresh, Lai Ramila, the Baal Gachelis, La Suke Daite, and he didn't have to think that the Cheresh would go and blow on this coal and cause damage. And that's why, in that case, he's going to be Pata. Keep in mind, although we said he's Pata, Rashi says he's Pata B'dinei Adam and Rabbi Chayiv B'dinei Shemayim. And the Gemara continues, Rabbi Yechon, the Amma, Afilu Masalei Shel Heves Nami Pata, according to Rabbi Yechon, who argues on Reish Lakish that brought from Chizkiyah, and he holds that even if Reuven gave an actual flame to a Cheresh Hatam Katan, he would be Pata. The Kavos Hacha B'Shar Mutu Bar Megula, and therefore we have to say that the case of Shar and Bar is talking about he gave the Shar to the Cheresh Hatam Katan, and it was untied, and the Bar was open. So Maishnacha. So why should it be that Benegei Shalav is your Pata and Benegei Shar Mutar and Bar Megula you're going to be Chayiv? And the Gemara answers: Hasam Tzavta the Cheresh Kagarim, Hachaloi Tzavta the Cheresh Kagarim. In the case of the flame, the reason why you'll be Pata is because the Cheresh is the one that took the flame and went and caused the fire. And as Rashi says, Shu Natla Vaylichal Gadish. However, Rashi continues: Hacha Benegei the case of Shar and Bar, Loi Tzavta the Cheresh Kagarim. Cheresh didn't have to add anything in order to cause any hezek. Shashar Halach Vehizek. The Shar himself went and was mazik, v'chein abar, v'loy al de cheresh hezek, and the cheresh did not add anything to the hezek, and that's why the owner would be potter. Rashi explains lashon safta in two different ways, either achizasa v'koychai, his grabbing hold of something, and his koyach caused the damage, and then Rashi brings the lashon safta as a lashon of accompaniment, that the only way that the hezek happened was through the cheresh going together with the shaleves, and causing this damage, ayin sham, and ayin teis dil maschol, shah oval in tukei. Then Rashi explained, afilu blei cheresh, that since we explained we're talking about a case where the owner tied up the shar and covered up the bar properly, and lemaisa we're going to learn in the Mishnah that from Beis Amalav that kiso kuro you're going to be pata. So why would we say over here chayiv ayin and taisis, and we'll stop over here.